Hey everyone, and welcome back. Today we're going to be tackling PVC injection molding.
Ooh.
Specifically, one of its biggest challenges, scorching.
Right.
You know, that discoloration or burning that can really ruin a product.
Yeah, it can be a real headache.
Now we've got a ton of research articles, technical
yeah.
guides, even some real-world examples to dig into.
I even found a few things that I hadn't seen before.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, should be interesting.
And luckily we have you here to walk us through all of this.
Well, do my best.
You're the expert.
All right, all right.
So let's jump right into it.
Okay.
When we talk about scorching in PVC injection molding,
mm-hmm.
what exactly is happening at like a molecular level?
Well, it's more than just saying like, oh, the plastic got too hot.
Right.
It's about what happens to the PVC when it gets too hot.
Mm.
So PVC or polyvinyl chloride is, you know, it's a really versatile material.
Yeah, incredibly versatile.
But it can be kind of sensitive when it comes to heat.
Interesting.
So you see, when PVC gets too hot, the bonds that hold its molecular chains together, they start to break down.
Oh, wow.
This is called thermal degradation, and it releases these volatile compounds.
Okay.
And those are the culprits behind the discoloration and burning that you see as scorching.
So it's not just that the PVC is melting, it's actually starting to decompose.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But it also makes me wonder, how much heat are we talking about here? Is there a specific temperature?
Yeah, so PVC begins to soften around 170 degrees Celsius.
Okay.
And that's its minimum melting temperature.
Hmm.
But things get a little tricky after that point.
I see.
It's like you need enough heat to make the PVC melt and flow into the mold.
Right.
But not so much that it starts to degrade.
Yeah, so there's a pretty fine line there.
A very fine line.
A tightrope walk, you might say.
Yeah, good analogy.
So I imagine the temperature of the injection molding barrel plays a pretty big role here.
Oh, it's critical.
Right.
The barrel is basically the heart of the whole process.
Yeah.
It's responsible for melting the PVC and then delivering it to the mold. So if that barrel temperature is too high, even for a short amount of time, you risk starting that whole degradation process and you end up with scorched products.
So barrel temperature is obviously a major factor in all of this.
Absolutely.
But I'm assuming it's not the only one.
No, you're right. Yeah, right. There are other variables at play.
So what else can send those PVC molecules into a frenzy?
Well, another big one is the injection speed.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it this way. The faster you try to push that molten PVC into the mold,
okay,
the more friction it's going to encounter along the way.
Right. Makes sense.
And that friction generates heat, which could be enough to cause scorching.
Especially if the barrel temperature is already on the high side.
Exactly. Especially if it's already close to that edge.
It's kind of like if you're trying to squeeze a whole tube of toothpaste out at once.
Uh-huh.
You might get it all out.
Right.
But you're also going to make a mess and probably generate a lot of heat.
Exactly. A perfect analogy.
Okay. So we've got barrel temperature. We've got injection speed. And I'm guessing injection pressure also plays a role.
Yes. Too much injection pressure can also be a problem.
Right.
It can force that PVC through the mold too quickly, and that creates more friction.
And more heat.
And more heat.
Okay. So we've got those three things all working together.
Right.
Or against us.
Sometimes against us.
When it comes to scorching, so getting those parameters right is crucial.
Absolutely.
But I'm guessing the story doesn't end there.
No, it doesn't.
Right. What about the mold itself? Does its design play a role in this whole scorching dilemma?
The mold is a big factor.
Mm.
It's more than just a container, you know?
Right.
It's a key part of the process, and the design can really influence the risk of scorching.
Okay.
One of the most important factors here is mold exhaust.
Mold exhaust.
Yeah, mold exhaust.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more about this mold exhaust.
So imagine as the molten PVC is going into the mold.
Okay.
It's not just the PVC that's heating up.
Mm.
The air inside the mold is also getting hotter.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, and if that air can't escape,
uh-oh,
it creates these hot spots that can lead to scorching.
And that's where mold exhaust comes in.
Exactly.
So it's like we need to give those hot gases a way out.
Yes, precisely.
But how do you design a mold to have proper exhaust? So are we talking like vents or fans?
Well, not quite fans,
yeah,
but vents are a big part of it.
Mm.
It usually involves strategically placed vents and grooves.
Okay.
That allow those hot gases to escape.
Makes sense.
The size and number and placement of these vents and grooves,
yeah,
that all depends on the complexity of the mold and the product being made.
Right, because obviously a simple mold is going to be different from a really complex one.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like there's a whole science to mold design when it comes to this.
Oh, there is a lot that goes into it.
What are some of the things that manufacturers really need to consider when they're either designing a mold
It's a great question.
Or even selecting one to minimize scorching.
It's a really important one, too.
Yeah.
And that's where the engineering comes in.
Okay.
But before we get into those specifics,
okay.
There's another really important element we need to talk about.
Mm.
The PVC material itself.
Okay.
Because not all PVC is created equal when it comes to resisting scorching.
Oh, interesting. So now we're talking about the ingredients themselves.
Exactly.
Is there a particular type of PVC that's less likely to scorch?
There are.
And what makes one PVC more heat resistant than another?
Well, it comes down to a few factors.
Okay.
One is the molecular weight of the PVC.
Mm.
So PVC with longer, more entangled molecular chains tends to be more resistant to that thermal degradation.
Mm.
Think of it like the difference between like a tightly woven fabric and a loosely knit one.
Mm.
That tightly woven fabric is going to be much more durable and less likely to unravel under stress.
That's a great analogy.
Thanks.
So higher molecular weight PVC is kind of our champion here.
It's a good place to start.
But I'm guessing it's not as simple as just picking the right PVC.
It would be nice if it were that easy.
Right. What about additives? Do they play a role in this whole thing?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
Think of additives as the support team.
Hmm.
You know, they enhance the PVC's performance.
Right.
They protect it from degradation, and they can even improve its look.
Interesting.
And when it comes to scorching, certain additives can be really helpful.
Okay, I'm all ears. What kind of additives are we talking about here?
One of the most important categories is heat stabilizers.
Heat stabilizers?
Yeah, they're like bodyguards for the PVC molecules.
Okay.
You know, protecting them from the heat.
Hmm. How do they work?
They work by neutralizing unstable chlorine atoms that get released during that thermal degradation process.
Okay.
And that prevents them from triggering a chain reaction that would lead to scorching.
So they're like absorbing the punches?
Yeah. Like
that the heat is throwing and preventing those punches from knocking out the PVC.
A great way to put it.
I'm guessing there are different types of heat stabilizers though, right?
There are many different types.
How do manufacturers know which one to choose?
Yeah, it can be a challenge to pick the right one.
Right.
Because it depends on the type of PVC being used, the processing conditions, the properties of the final product.
Wow, that's a lot to consider.
It is.
Before we get lost in the world of additives, though,
okay.
I want to circle back to something you mentioned earlier about the different grades of PVC.
Sure.
You mentioned that higher molecular weight PVC is more resistant to scorching.
Right. Generally speaking, yes.
But how do manufacturers know what they're getting?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Are there tests or indicators that tell them how heat-resistant that PVC is?
There are a few different tests mm-hmm. that manufacturers use to evaluate the thermal stability.
Okay.
One common one is the Viscat softening point.
Okay.
And that measures the temperature at which a needle will penetrate a sample of the PVC.
Interesting.
Under a specific load.
Okay.
And then there's the heat deflection temperature, which basically tells you the temperature at which a PVC bar will deform under a certain load.
I see.
So these tests give manufacturers valuable information about how that PVC is going to behave under heat.
So it's like a scorecard for the PVC's heat tolerance.
Yeah, you could say that.
That's pretty cool.
It's really helpful information to have.
So we've covered a lot of ground here in this first part of our deep dive.
Yeah, we have.
We've talked about what causes scorching, that chemical process.
Right.
We've talked about barrel temperature injection, speed injection pressure.
Important stuff.
And even mold design and the PVC material itself.
Right.
Is there anything else we need to keep in mind about these core elements of PVC injection molding and how they impact scorching?
I think it's important to remember that all these factors we talked about today,
okay.
they don't exist in isolation.
Right.
They all interact in very complex ways.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So even small changes in one area can have ripple effects throughout the entire process.
Makes sense.
So it's not enough to just set the barrel temperature and walk away. You need to think about how that temperature is going to interact with the injection speed, with the pressure, with the mold design, with the properties of that PVC.
So it's like conducting an orchestra.
Exactly.
You need every instrument to be perfectly in tune.
Yeah.
And playing in harmony to make it all work.
That's a great analogy.
So let's dive back into this world of mold design.
Okay.
You mentioned mold exhaust is crucial for preventing scorching.
It is.
But can you give us a more concrete picture of what that looks like in practice? Like, what are some of the design features
Absolutely.
That engineers use to create effective exhaust systems?
So think of the mold like a network of channels and pathways
Yep.
that guide that molten PVC to its final form.
Okay.
And along those pathways, we need to create escape routes for the air and gases that get trapped during injection.
Okay.
One common technique is to incorporate vents.
Okay.
And those are basically tiny openings strategically placed along what's called the parting line of the mold. These vents allow the air to escape as that PVC flows in.
Mm-hmm.
So it prevents pressure from building up.
Okay.
And reduces the risk of scorching.
So vents are kind of like pressure relief valves.
That's a good way to think about it.
For the mold.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Uh-huh.
You also mentioned grooves earlier. Are those different from vents?
They are. So okay. While vents are mainly for air escape,
right.
Grooves have a different purpose.
Mm.
They actually guide the flow of that molten PVC.
Oh.
They make sure that it fills the mold evenly.
Okay.
And without trapping air pockets.
Interesting.
These grooves are usually very shallow.
Mm.
Often just a few thousandths of an inch deep.
Wow.
But they play a big role in preventing scorching
okay.
because they help that material flow smoothly.
So it's all about creating the right flow dynamics within the mold.
Exactly.
Make sure the PVC moves smoothly, doesn't get stuck,
right.
Doesn't get compressed in ways that could generate too much heat.
It's a delicate balance.
Yeah, sounds like
it. Yeah, it requires a lot of precision.
Speaking of flow.
Yeah.
I remember you mentioning something called gate design.
Yes.
Can you explain what that is and why it's important?
Yeah. So the gate is basically the entry point
okay.
where that molten PVC flows from the barrel into the mold cavity.
So like the doorway to the mold.
Yeah, like the doorway.
And its size and shape and location, I'm assuming, are all important.
Oh, they are.
For how the PVC fills the mold.
Extremely important.
And how much heat it generates.
Right.
So if the gate is too small,
uh-huh.
It creates a bottleneck.
It does.
Which forces the PVC to squeeze through, which generates a lot of friction and heat.
Exactly.
On the other hand, if it's too large,
yeah,
the PVC might rush in too quickly and cause turbulence.
Exactly. It's about finding that Goldilocks zone.
So not too small, not too large, just right.
Fizzles, right.
But are there different types of gates?
There are different types.
How do manufacturers choose the right one for their application?
So there are several different types,
yeah.
Each with their own pros and cons.
Mm.
One common type is what's called an edge gate,
okay.
Which is located along the edge of the mold cavity.
Mm.
Edge gates are relatively simple to design and manufacture,
okay.
But they can sometimes create uneven filling.
I see.
Especially in parts that have really complex shapes.
So for more intricate parts, a different gate design might be necessary.
Exactly.
Okay.
For those complex parts or parts with multiple cavities, you might use a multi-point gate.
Okay.
And that has multiple entry points, so the PVC can flow in from different directions.
Oh, I see. So it's more even.
Exactly.
And that helps prevent scorching.
It does.
Another option is a fan gate.
Yes.
Which I'm assuming is shaped like a fan.
Shaped just like a fan.
Okay.
It distributes that PVC flow over a wider area.
I see.
Which helps with that filling uniformity.
So it's like a whole secret world of gate design out there.
It is. It's quite fascinating.
Each one tailored for different products and challenges.
Yeah, exactly.
But let's shift gears for a second. Talk about those heat stabilizers.
All right.
The unsung heroes of scorching prevention.
They are pretty important.
We touched on them briefly earlier.
Yeah.
But let's dive a little deeper.
Okay.
What are some of the different types of heat stabilizers that are used in PVC injection molding?
So there are a lot of different heat stabilizers out there.
Right.
But to make things a little simpler, we can break them down into a few main categories.
Okay.
One of the most common types is lead-based stabilizers.
Lead-based.
Yeah. These have been used for decades.
Okay.
They're known for being effective and relatively low cost.
Hmm.
But there are some concerns about the environmental impact of lead.
Yeah, of course.
So a lot of manufacturers are looking for alternatives these days.
Right. So lead-based stabilizers, they're like the veterans.
Yeah, the veterans.
Effective, but maybe not the most sustainable option anymore.
That's a good way to put it.
So what are some of those newer, more eco-friendly alternatives?
So one promising category is calcium zinc stabilizers. These are considered much more environmentally friendly
mm-hmm.
than the lead-based ones, and they offer good thermal stability for a lot of applications.
Right.
They're often used in products that come into contact with food or water
right.
because they meet those stricter safety standards.
So calcium zinc stabilizers, they're like the rising stars.
They are gaining in popularity for sure.
Environmentally conscious and increasingly popular.
That's right.
Are there any other contenders in this heat stabilizer arena?
There are Another category that's getting some attention is organic-based stabilizers.
Organic-based?
Yeah, sometimes called non-metallic stabilizers.
Okay.
These are usually based on organic compounds, like tin or phosphites.
Okay.
And they offer good thermal stability along with excellent transparency and color retention.
So they're good for applications where the look of the product is really important.
Exactly. They're kind of the specialists.
Specialists.
Yeah.
They excel in certain areas, but might not be the best fit for every single application.
Yeah.
Choosing the right heat stabilizer, it sounds like a really careful balancing act.
It is.
You've got to consider cost, performance, environmental impact, even the aesthetics of the final product.
It's all part of the equation.
It really does sound like a lot goes into this.
It does.
Speaking of which,
yeah.
I'm curious about the role of testing and analysis in all of this.
Oh, that's important too.
How do manufacturers actually evaluate how effective different heat stabilizers are?
So there are some specific tests and techniques that they use.
Yeah.
One common one is what's called the oven aging test.
Oven aging test.
Yeah. Okay. So they take samples of PVC with different stabilizers and they expose them to high temperatures for a specific amount of time.
Okay.
And they monitor the color and physical properties for any changes.
Oh, wow.
This basically simulates the conditions the PVC is going to experience during injection molding.
Okay.
And helps them identify which stabilizers provide the best long-term protection.
So it's like putting the heat stabilizers through boot camp.
I like that analogy.
Yeah, seeing which ones can handle the heat.
Exactly.
We've been so focused on these technical details of scorching prevention that I've almost forgotten about the human element.
Oh, yeah.
What about the role of the operator?
The operator plays a crucial role,
right?
Even with all the automation we have today. An experienced operator can often spot subtle signs of trouble.
Okay.
You know, things like slight variations in the color or inconsistencies in the flow patterns, things that sensors and computers might miss.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like a seasoned captain at the helm.
Yeah, a good analogy.
Someone who can read those subtle cues and make adjustments before a small problem becomes a big one.
Exactly.
That's really cool.
It's a valuable skill.
This has been an incredible journey so far.
Yeah, we've covered a lot.
We've explored the intricacies of mold design, the world of heat stabilizers.
Right.
We even touched on the human element. But I have a feeling there's still so much more to uncover.
Oh, there's a lot more to talk about.
You're absolutely right. There's always more to learn. And I feel like we've only just scratched the surface of this whole PVC injection molding world.
It is a complex world.
But before we get too lost in all the technical details.
Sure.
I thought it might be helpful to kind of take a step back.
Okay.
And look at the bigger picture.
I like that.
You know, see how all of these concepts that we've been talking about.
Right.
How they all come together in the real world.
That's a great idea because there's nothing like seeing these principles in action.
Exactly.
You know, witnessing how companies have tackled these scorching challenges.
Yeah.
And come out on top.
Right. And I'm hoping that by exploring some of those real world examples.
Yeah.
Our listeners will walk away not just with a deeper understanding of the concepts,
right,
but also a sense of like inspiration and empowerment.
I hope so.
You know, that feeling of, hey, if they can conquer scorching, so can I. So let's dive into some case studies. What have you got for us?
I've got a few good ones.
Hit me with your best one.
All right. So let's start with a company that manufactures PVC pipes.
Okay. A classic application for PVC.
Yeah. It is. So they were having some major scorching issues leading to, you know, high scrap rates, inconsistent product quality, frustrated customers.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It was impacting their bottom line
and
their reputation.
Of course.
They knew they had to find a solution.
PVC pipes. It's amazing how something so seemingly simple can become so complex.
Right.
When you factor in these scorching challenges.
It really can.
So how did they approach this problem? Did you start by focusing on the PVC material itself?
So they wisely chose the holistic route.
Okay.
They recognized that scorching is rarely caused by just one single factor.
Right.
So they started by reviewing their process parameters.
Okay.
Looking at things like the barrel temperature, the injection speed, the pressure.
Okay.
And what they found was both surprising and revealing.
Hmm.
Their barrel temperatures were way higher than they needed to be.
Oh, wow.
And their injection speeds were really pushing that PVC to its limits.
So they were basically cooking the PVC at way too high a temperature and then forcing it through the mold like a runaway train.
That's a good way to put it.
It's no wonder they were seeing so much scorching.
Yeah, it's not surprising.
But what prompted them to set those parameters so aggressively in the first place?
Well, it's a common misconception that faster is always better.
Right.
In manufacturing.
Okay.
They were working under the assumption that higher temperatures and faster injection speeds
yeah.
would equal more output and better efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't realize that they were sacrificing quality for speed.
Classic case of haste makes waste.
Exactly.
They were so focused on pushing those limits of speed that they didn't think about the balance required
right.
to produce good quality products.
They overlooked that balance.
So how did they adjust their process to find that sweet spot?
So they took a step back. And they focused on really understanding the properties of the PVC they were using.
Mm.
They talked to their material supplier.
Good idea.
Gathered data on the PVC's thermal stability.
Uh-huh.
And started experimenting with different temperature profiles
okay.
and injection speed settings.
Hmm.
So they gradually lowered the barrel temperatures, especially in the zones closest to the nozzle.
Okay.
And they implemented a more controlled injection speed profile,
hmm.
making sure that the flow was smooth and consistent
okay.
without too much friction.
So they slowed things down, lowered the heat, and treated the PVC with a little more respect.
That's one way to put it.
I bet those PVC molecules were pretty happy about that.
I'm sure they were.
But did those changes alone solve the scorching problem?
They made a big difference.
Okay.
But the scorching hadn't completely disappeared.
Mm.
That's when they turned their attention to the mold itself.
Okay.
And they realized that their existing mold had a poorly designed exhaust system.
Oh.
The vents were too small and not in the right places.
Mm. So that led to trapped air and gases.
Right.
Which were contributing to that scorching.
So they addressed the heat source. But they didn't give that heat away to escape.
Just a good way to think about it.
It's like trying to cool down a room with all the windows closed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what did they do?
So they redesigned the mold.
Okay.
They incorporated larger and more strategically placed vents.
Okay.
To make sure that there was enough exhaust.
Mm.
And they also paid attention to the gate design.
Right.
They chose a multi-point gate.
Okay.
To promote even filling.
Okay.
And minimize those localized hotspots.
So it sounds like they were approaching this mold design
yeah.
with a whole new understanding of fluid dynamics and heat management.
They definitely were.
Did it pay off?
It did.
Did they finally conquer the scorching?
They did.
Okay.
That combination of the optimized process parameters
mm.
and the well-designed mold.
Okay.
That was the winning formula.
Great.
The scorching incidents dropped significantly.
Oh. Their scrap rates plummeted. And their product quality went way up.
Great. So everybody was happy.
Everybody's happy.
The customers were delighted, I assume.
Oh, yes.
And their reputation as a reliable supplier was restored.
It was a good outcome.
That's an incredible story.
It is a good one.
It really highlights the importance of taking that holistic approach. Understanding how everything is connected in PVC injection molding.
Right.
And being willing to experiment and challenge those assumptions.
Absolutely.
To find the best solution.
Yeah.
Did they stop there, though?
So they actually embraced this philosophy of continuous improvement.
Oh, wow.
They recognize that even the successful solution can always be refined and optimized.
That's a great mindset.
So they put in a really rigorous data collection and analysis system.
Okay.
Tracking key process parameters and product quality metrics
okay.
to identify trends and opportunities for improvement.
Wow, that's great.
And they also created a culture of collaboration and knowledge sharing, encouraging their operators and engineers to work together
oh, wow.
to identify and address those potential scorching risks.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So they basically transformed their entire approach.
They did.
To PVC injection molding.
Yeah.
They went from fighting scorching to preventing it.
A much better approach.
I know you mentioned you had another case study, though.
I do.
What other scorching saga can you share with us?
Okay, so this next one takes us into the world of PVC window frames.
Oh, window frames.
Yeah.
Okay.
This company was producing high-quality window frames.
Okay.
But they were having problems with inconsistent color
hmm.
and surface defects that were caused by scorching.
Okay.
It was a big aesthetic problem.
Right.
And it was impacting their sales.
Of course, because nobody wants to buy a window frame with right. discoloration.
Exactly.
Or defect.
So they knew they had to fix it.
It's amazing how scorching can impact such a wide range of products.
It really can.
From the purely functional, like, pipes, to things that are more visual, like these window frames.
It affects a lot of different products.
So how do they approach this particular challenge?
They started with the PVC material itself.
Okay.
They had been using a standard grade of PVC,
mm.
but they started to think that it might not be the best choice for their application.
Okay.
So they contacted their supplier.
Good idea.
And they requested samples of different PVC grades.
Okay.
With different thermal stability indicators.
Okay.
And they also started looking into heat stabilizers.
Hmm.
Exploring all the different options.
So they were auditioning different PVCs and stabilizers.
That's a good way to put it.
Looking for the perfect pair to make those flawless window frame.
Exactly.
But how do they evaluate all those different options? It's not like you can just look at a piece of PVC
right.
and know if it's going to be scorch resistant.
So they used a combination of lab testing
okay.
and small-scale production trials.
Okay.
So they sent samples of the different PVC grades and stabilizer combinations to a lab that specializes in polymer analysis.
Mm.
And that lab ran a bunch of tests,
yeah.
including that oven aging test we talked about,
right.
to evaluate how stable each formulation was and how well it retained its color.
So it was like a PVC beauty pageant.
Yeah, a good way to think about it.
Each contestant being judged on their heat tolerance, their color, their performance under pressure.
Yeah, exactly.
But did those lab tests alone give them enough information?
They also did some real-world production trials.
Okay, so they took those top contenders out for a test drive.
That's right.
On the injection molding track.
Yeah.
To see how they really performed.
So they selected a few promising combinations based on those lab results.
Okay.
And then they produced small batches of window frames mm-hmm. using each formulation.
Okay.
And they carefully monitored the injection molding process.
Right.
Watching for any signs of scorching.
Mm.
And then they evaluated the finished frames.
Okay.
You know, looking at the color consistency, the surface quality, the aesthetics.
Did they find that perfect match?
They did.
Okay.
They found that a specific combination of a high molecular weight PVC
okay.
and a calcium zinc stabilizer
mm.
that gave them the best results.
Awesome.
So the PVC had the thermal stability it needed to handle the heat.
Right.
And the calcium zinc stabilizer protected against scorching.
Okay.
And made sure the color and clarity stayed consistent.
So sometimes the solution is as simple as finding the right ingredients.
Sometimes it is.
But I imagine there was a bit more to it than just swapping out the PVC and stabilizer.
There was a little more to it.
Did they have to make any tweaks to their process parameters?
They did.
To work with this new combination?
They worked with their injection molding experts.
Okay.
To fine-tune things like the barrel temperatures, the injection speeds, and the pressures,
right.
you know, to get that smooth, consistent flow
right.
without messing with the PVC's stability.
Okay.
They also made a few adjustments to the mold design.
Hmm.
Optimized the gate size and location just to enhance that filling uniformity and minimize those scorching risks.
So it really was about creating that perfect harmony.
It was.
Between the material, the additives, the process, the roll design.
Exactly.
A real team effort.
A true collaboration.
What was the final outcome? Did they get those perfect window frames?
They did.
Okay.
The results were amazing.
Awesome.
The scorching disappeared.
Right.
The window frames were smooth and free of defects.
Man.
And customers were thrilled.
I bet they were.
Yeah. Their sales went up.
Okay.
Their reputation as a quality manufacturer was solid.
Great.
And they even found a new market.
Oh, wow.
For their high-end, scorch-free window frames.
That's a great story.
It's a good one.
It really shows that with a little perseverance
uh-huh.
and a deep understanding of PVC and how it behaves.
Right.
The right choices can really make a difference.
Absolutely. As we wrap up our deep dive into this world
okay.
of PVC injection molding
yeah.
and the fight against scorching,
what key takeaways do you hope our listeners will walk away with?
I hope they remember that scorching isn't inevitable.
Right.
It's a challenge, but it can be overcome
yeah.
with knowledge and a little ingenuity mm. and a willingness to experiment.
Right.
I hope they also appreciate how interconnected everything is.
Yeah.
In PVC injection molding, you know,
right.
the material, the additives, the process parameters, the mold design.
It all plays a role.
It all matters.
And you have to approach it holistically.
Yeah.
Right.
And most importantly, I hope they're inspired to embrace continuous improvement.
That's a good one.
You know, always looking for ways to improve their processes, their products,
mm-hmm.
and really push the boundaries of what's possible with PVC.
Those are some really great takeaways.
I hope so.
So to our listeners, as you continue your own PVC injection molding journeys,
yeah.
remember the lessons we've talked about today?
Okay.
Don't be afraid to experiment.
Uh-huh.
Challenge those assumptions.
Yeah.
Seek out expert advice when you need it.
Good advice.
And never underestimate the power of understanding the science behind it all.
Right.
Those subtle but important material choices.
They can make all the difference.
And the power of continuous improvement.
It's a journey.
The journey to scorch-free PVC products can be a tough one.
It can.
But with the right knowledge and some persistence,
mm-hmm.
you can conquer those scorching demons.
You can.
And create some really amazing products.
That's what it's all about. Thermally stable, how well they held on to their color, you know, things like that.
Oh, so like a real scientific beauty pageant.
Exactly.
But lab tests alone probably aren't enough.
Right. They also did production trials.
So they took it out of the lab and into the real world.
Exactly. They picked a few of the best combinations from the lab.
Okay.
Then they actually made small batches of window frames.
Using each of those combinations?
Yeah, with each different formulation.
Wow, that's commitment.
Well, they really wanted to get it right.
So it's like a real world test drive for these PVC and stabilizer combos.
Exactly. See how they handle the pressure.
What did they learn from all that testing?
Well, they found a winner.
They found the perfect match.
A specific high molecular weight PVC.
Okay.
Combined with a calcium zinc stabilizer.
Interesting. And that combo gave them the best results.
The best. So the PVC was tough enough to handle the heat.
Right.
And the stabilizer did its job protecting against scorching.
Keeping those colors nice and consistent.
Exactly. The frames looked great.
I bet. But I'm guessing they still had to make some tweaks.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't just plug and play.
To the process.
They worked closely with their injection molding team.
Okay.
To dial in the barrel temperature, injection speeds, pressures.
I get that flow just right.
Smooth and consistent without overheating the PVC.
So they had to adjust to this new material.
Yeah. It's all about finding that balance.
They also tweaked the mold a bit.
Right. They optimized the gate.
To get that even filling and reduce scorching risks.
Right. Yep. Every little detail matters.
So it wasn't just about the PVC and stabilizer.
I don't know. It was the whole system.
The process, the mold, mm-hmm. everything had to work together.
It's a symphony.
A well-conducted symphony.
Exactly.
So tell me, did they finally get those flawless window frames?
They did. The results were fantastic.
I knew it.
No more scorching.
Awesome.
The frames were perfect, smooth. Beautiful.
Your customers must have been thrilled.
They were, sales went up. Their reputation got even better.
I bet.
They even found a whole new market for those high-end frames.
Wow. So a scorching problem turned into a business opportunity?
You could say that.
That's amazing.
It's a great example of how the right choices
right.
can make a huge difference.
Absolutely.
And that perseverance pays off.
This has been such a fascinating deep dive.
I've enjoyed it.
PVC injection molding is clearly so much more complex than it seems at first glance.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot to it.
But I feel like we've armed our listeners with some really valuable knowledge.
I hope so.
So as we wrap up today's episode,
okay.
I just want to reiterate that scorching is a challenge.
Right.
But it's not insurmountable. You can beat it.
With the right approach.
Exactly.
The right materials,
yep.
a well-designed mold, mm-hmm. and a whole lot of careful attention to detail.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So to our listeners out there,
yeah.
keep learning,
yeah.
keep experimenting, and never give up on that quest for those perfect scorch-free PVC products.
And don't be afraid to ask for help.
Absolutely. There are experts out there who can guide you.
Right.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
We'll catch you next time.